We have an awesome guest with us, the owner, the promoter of Synergy Pro Wrestling. On July 25th, he welcomes a star-studded event such as the Garden State Invitational, where you're seeing former members of the Raw locker room, the MLW locker room, guys fighting their own teammates. It cannot get more excited. With me right now is Colin West and, of course, my tag team partner in podcasting, Greg. He is my best friend. He is everybody's best friend.
Hi, everybody. I didn't realize that was to me. I thought you were throwing it to Colin. This has just gone off the rails already. I love it.
That's cool. I thought he was throwing it to you. I heard you pause right before you said awesome guest. You knew you were overselling me and you did it anyway. I appreciate that. Going in hard. Overselling. This is our above average promotion friend guest. Doesn't have the same ring to it. There's this guy who just will not stay out of our DMs, Colin West.
No. I'm sure you feel the same way about us. Can't get away from our DMs either.
Nah, just one of you. I won't say who.
Yeah, Greg doesn't know how to DM, so I guess who that is
for. I did it first. I remember that first day I DM people way before that. I've DM people before. I'm on it.
Yeah, after Greg sent Hammerstone a half message, we don't.
That's a funny story. I haven't told that story on the podcast yet. Don't even get me started on that. Just a lesson, kids. The return button means send now, not like spacing out things. Uh-huh. So when you send a half-cocked DM to a guy, it doesn't always work out well for you. But you know what? Whatever. What are you going to do? It's not about me today. It's about the GSI on July 25th for Synergy Pro Wrestling. So let's go. Let's
roll. Plugs on plugs. I thought we were here to talk about the James Paxton start from yesterday.
Yeah. Quality. Let's not talk about how deep Judge took him.
Woof. So,
Big Maple.
Let's dive right in. Let's start with the Cruiserweight Crown match. Super excited for TJ Crawford. You know, he's a friend of our show. You know, Casey Catal is the toughest person in that match. And then there's Ellis Taylor, who's just the old school heel. Tell us why everybody's going to love that match.
Beyond the talent, I see this a little differently than a lot of people have seen it. If you watched the beginning of the quest for the Cruiserweight Crown, how everybody got here, how these three qualified back in January at our last live event for July 11th, Ellis Taylor looked like he won with some honor. Casey Catal did what she came to do, and TJ Crawford advanced by grabbing Francis Kip Stevens' tights. And it was kind of a shocking moment to us. I understood that, you know, do whatever you got to do to win. But then for Crawford to come out and say that Casey's the toughest person in the ring and sticking up for her, and last time I checked, Casey doesn't need a man to stick up for her, and even if she does, she's married, so she's got that already. I'm very confused by motivations, and I couldn't tell if Ellis was really being heely or if Ellis just kind of smelled a rat or what. But whatever the case may be, I think the mistake that both of the guys made on July 11th was kind of treating Casey like she was just happy to be there. I think that beyond the fact that these are three insanely talented people, Ellis Taylor challenged for the CZW World Heavyweight Championship last year and almost won it. Casey Catal main evented a CZW match, supercard with Jimmy Lloyd in a death match. And TJ Crawford has consistently had multiple match of the nights for our promotion. Beyond the fact that the match quality is going to be through the roof, and I think this is your sneaky steal the show match, if any of them are, I don't know whose motivations are what right now.
That's interesting. In talking to TJ today, he's very excited for the match, which obviously whenever you hear a performer speak so positively about what's going to happen, it gets you excited for that match. So that's one that, you know, we said in our review, we couldn't wait for, and the anticipation's only getting better.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is your pick to click of, if you're ordering this on Fight TV and you're looking at one match where you don't necessarily know everyone involved, put a little star next to this one, because I think these three are young, up and coming, very hungry to steal a show. They don't care that M-Dog's on it. They don't care that Simon Gotch is on it. They are intending to steal the show. So I'm very excited to see what these three put together.
Now let's break into the GSI itself. Gregory Iron and Tony Deppen. Very unique styles coming in there.
And I think these are two guys who kind of have always just missed each other in the independent scene. I mean, most recently, over in DCW, you've seen Ricky Shane Page and his Ohio crew kind of run roughshod and be awful, brutal bad guys and take that championship. And for the first time in his career, people are booing the daylights out of Gregory Iron over there. It's never happened before. He's always been super fun-loving, handicapped heroes, you know, upstanding citizen. CM Punk puts him over at an indie show. Longtime feud with Johnny Gargano over at AIW. And Tony Deppen is just a really unlikable son of a bitch, but undeniably talented. He's won tournaments before. He won On Point Wrestling's Masters in the Mat. He was in last year's PWG Battle of Los Angeles. I mean, this is a guy who puts his stamp on tournament shows. It's just going to be really interesting to see which crowd shows up. Is it the crowd that knows Tony and Greg from GCW and cheers Tony and boos the hell out of Greg Iron? Or is it going to be the crowd that remembers them from elsewhere in pro wrestling and boos Deppen and cheers Greg? And I think that whatever the crowd does is really going to impact how these two perform. Like, is it going to rattle Greg Iron to be booed somewhere other than DCW if it happens? Or is it going to rattle Tony Deppen to be booed in this tournament 2 weeks after he was cheered here? I think, honestly, these are two guys where crowd reaction matters a lot more to them than they both let on. So I think that it's really going to be who the crowd gets behind is going to have a little bit of a boost here and a little bit of a home court.
We definitely were impressed with Tony Deppen. You know, I told you initially that I wasn't totally familiar with his work, but what a stud in the ring. Holy,
I mean, I'll say this. Other promotions do what they do, and I respect them for it, and they do a great job. But I like to be the place where guys come in and people go, oh, they can work. Oh, they can really wrestle, and they're not just this and that and the other thing. You know, it's why, you know, guys like Jordan Oliver and guys like Tony Deppen and in the past, Matt Tremont, I've really taken a lot of pride in coming in and having them come in and just saying, show them what you got, get on the mat, and they can go. I mean, these are world-class professional wrestlers. And Tony's been of a high caliber on the mat for a very long time. So was it shocking to me to see him actually use a ground game to pick up a pinfall on JD Drake? It was to a lot of people. It wasn't to me. I wasn't shocked by it at all. I mean, I was very impressed with Tony because Drake was outstanding.
So on the same side of that bracket, you have one of the guys that stood out for me, especially during the July 11th show, which was KTB taking on Gotch. How do you think that matchup's going to turn out? Because, you know, KTB is a powerful guy, and then you got Gotch, the seasoned veteran. How do you see that one turning out?
I mean, I'm going to pull the wool back a little bit here. These are two guys who, when the bracket was being put together and it was drawn at random, they just said, hey, listen, if you don't draw us in the first round, we'll both win and we'll find each other. These are two guys who want it with each other for very specific reasons, because KTB looks at Gotch as a guy that he can prove himself against. And Gotch looks at KTB and says, I can prove I can slap, I can hit this guy. These two are going to beat the crap out of each other. I mean, dead serious. There is no joke about it. You read into that however you want, however much you believe or don't believe of the business, it doesn't matter, because on all levels, these two are going to beat the crap out of each other. It's been put on paper. It's been put in email. It's been put in messages from both sides. Expect a stiff match from both of them. And it's a proving ground for both guys. I think Gotch has shown me as much post-WWE as anybody has recently. Like, his run in MLW with Contra Unit, everything he's done independent-wise, he is not some soft-bought villain, dude. Like, that is not who he is. You know, who you get paid money to play and who you are sometimes two very different things. And Simon Gotch will beat you up. And I think the thing that you're going to see is that you don't get to see on TV so much, much bigger guy than you think he is. Much bigger guy than most people think he is. And KTB is one of the five best unsigned wrestlers in America for me. And he has been for a very long time. He is the total package. He's got it. He is in the best shape I've seen him since 2013. He has really taken his diet seriously. He is in the shredded shape of like 6'1", 250, 255, and he is an absolute monster. When you see him do power stuff, there's no help there. He's doing things by brute force. He has done things physically. Like, KTB stands for Kyle the Beast, and he got that nickname early on in pro wrestling, not because he called himself that, because people would see him do things and yell beast. That's shoot. That's real. And so it became his nickname because other people gave it to him. This man does things athletically that he should not be able to do. And I think that it's just going to be a matter of that size, speed, and athleticism versus, like you said, how uncanny Gotch's in-ring savvy is. And in the end, it might just come down to who hits the other guy in the mouth harder.
Now, on the other side of the bracket, you have Matt Cross, who is just the ultimate independent wrestler who has been around and had a cup of tea just about everywhere, against Gary J, who is another guy that I'm just becoming a little more familiar with. Tell the fans why this one could be really a barn burner.
I'm going to start with Gary J. I went to Warhorse a couple of years ago. And I've been lucky enough to know him since before the paint and when he was in the Viking War Party. And so he and I talk every once in a while, and I'm like, who do I need to watch? And he just kept saying, Gary J, Gary J, Gary J. And if that dude puts a stamp on somebody, I'm going and I'm watching video. Gary J is just a dude who will drive and do the drives and get on the road and forearm you in the mouth. He is a lot of, I don't want to say a poor man's anything because that devalues him, but this is a lot more samesies than a lot of people think. There's a lot of Gary J and Matt Cross, and there's a lot of Matt Cross and Gary J. And the only difference might just be name recognition and years in. Gary J is, if you want to look at Warhorse's face and see that scar on his mouth, that's Gary J's work. Gary J ripped a turnbuckle hook out of his mouth for realsies. And yeah, it was a very, very tough thing to watch. Gary J has hurt people in this business for money. He is a little bit of a mercenary, and he is considered one of the four pillars of St. Louis wrestling right now. You know, him and Warhorse and Vega and Fitchett. And he will hurt you. And he will knock you out. His rolling elbow is one of the best I've seen. It's just on the jaw every time until you can't stand up. One of the few guys I've seen that actually can finish a guy with a rolling elbow. That being said, straight up, if Matt Cross doesn't win this tournament, I'm going to be shocked. And I'm not painting Gary J as not a threat. He could very easily win this match, but I'm not here to sell. I'm here to tell the truth. And if we're looking at things, Matt Cross, from the moment that I signed him, was the guy that we put out front and said, okay, everybody chase the lead dog. Can somebody beat Matt Cross is the story of this tournament. Can somebody beat him? I don't know. We'll find out. Like, if somebody other than Matt Cross wins this tournament, they will have earned it. He's that good.
You take the last one, Greg. I know how excited you are for the last one.
I am excited for this one, as are a lot of people, because this is kind of turned into the talk of the independent wrestling scene, is this first round matchup between both two members of Injustice from MLW, and that's Jordan Oliver and Myron Reed. And the buzz around this match is already reached a fever pitch minutes after Jordan Oliver pinned LSG on July 11th. So so we know what the talk is on the internet scene. What's the talk backstage for you guys coming into this match?
Let's put it this way. Jordan's got two clicks. In MLW, it's Injustice. And in independent wrestling, it is Young, Dumb, and Broke. It is Ellis Taylor, Charlie Tiger, Griffin McCoy. They're two very different clicks. And when Jordan is not in MLW, he reps YDNB hard. So I don't know how much Injustice versus Injustice we're going to get here, and a little more of Injustice YDNB. Especially since Ellis Taylor is going to be in the building. I'm not saying there will be involvement. I don't expect there to be involvement, because I've told everybody very clearly in this tournament, you want to make a name for yourself any other night, go ahead. You want to do something wild any other night, shoot your shot. Keep my tournament pure. Don't F with my tournament. Don't do it. I'm very Shao Kahn like that, homie. Do not mess with my tournament. I'm serious. Like, it's the one thing that I really hold. I want to keep pure. I want to keep pristine. So that's not going to be the issue. But let's be real here. Myron Reed is the MLW middleweight champion of the world. And if you don't think on some level that Jordan is a little chapped by that, that the other dude has the gold, and he's cast almost not by MLW, because I know how much they value Jordan, but by the fan base in MLW, Jordan kind of is looked at as the Flava Flav for Myron Reed. He's the hype man. And Jordan's like, no. Like, I know Jordan believes he can take that title from Myron anytime he wants. I know he does. This is going to be a matter of, hey, does Myron want to beat Jordan as bad as Jordan wants to beat Myron? That's the story, really. Is Myron gonna be willing to go the extra yard to put away Jordan the way that Jordan is gonna be willing to go that extra yard to put away Myron? Like, just being dead ass with you, these are two guys who are very good friends. I know for a fact that before and after this show, Myron's gonna be staying at Jordan's house. That's real. But what's also real is that it might be a little bit heated afterwards. It might be a little tense. Myron may need to go get himself a hotel, because I know how bad Jordan wants to beat him. And I don't know if we can say that. We'll figure out if Myron wants to beat Jordan just as bad. But, I mean, here's what I'll say. You know, you booked a good match when you see a bunch of the other indies copying it over the next couple of weeks, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Fuego. Yeah, it's going to be really good. It's going to be really, really good. The two young guns just out there to kill it. I was personally stunned that LSG did not make this tournament. I think LSG is one of the best in the world right now. I think he's a total package kind of guy. But he got caught slipping. Jordan caught him napping. And Jordan Oliver, is anybody going to have a harder road to the GSI final than Jordan, who would have to beat Myron and beat the winner of Matt Cross, Gary J, and then probably meet a guy like Gotch or KT? Like, it just, whoever comes out of this match is going to have a really uphill climb to try to win this thing.
It's an absolutely stacked GSI. You did a wonderful job packing that card. Now let's talk the, you know, heavyweight title match. The Frightmare on Pratt Street was incredible. Like, we absolutely loved it.
Hell yeah.
It was even better than you sold it to us. Just absolutely awesome. And now I'm super excited to see these two guys go at it for the title.
Well, the backstory there is deeper than that. I mean, the backstory there is, I don't know how far back you go with pro wrestling, but there was a tag team for a very long time called the Osirian Portal. And it was Ophidian and Amasis. And if you don't know them, you probably know them and don't know that you know them. That didn't make any sense. But they broke the internet a while back. With their snake style, they did a bit in CZW where they hypnotized Joe Gacy early in Joe Gacy's career and got the guys to break dance and whatever. So, I mean, Amasis / Deshaun Pratt has been around for a very long time. And 3 years ago, he and Frightmare built got so much animosity to each other that they ended up wrestling a mask versus mask match, and Deshaun lost his entire identity, lost thousands and thousands of followers, all of his buzz as a luchador just gone. And he's kind of wandered since, and he's an exceptionally talented pro wrestler. But when you lose your identity that you've had for years, it's damn near impossible to recover from that. It really is. And this is a moment for him to try to take everything from Frightmare the way that Frightmare took everything from him. And for the first time in a year and a half, 2 years, it's really made our fan base kind of question whether Frightmare is this guy they cheer for or not. You know, because there's always skeletons, there's always ghosts. And for the first time, like, you saw Frightmare on Pratt Street. Frightmare's capable of some weird crap, dude. He's capable of some real weird stuff. He's capable of some real dirty stuff. I feel like even if Deshaun loses this match, he still succeeded in tainting Frightmare's reputation a little bit. That being said, I don't know if Frightmare is ready for the level of anger that Deshaun has. And these are two guys who know each other very, very well. I would expect a lot of counters. I would expect a lot of strategy. It's just going to be who can control their rage, because I feel like the first guy who gets boiling angry is going to make a huge mistake, and I mean like a catastrophically huge mistake, and that's going to be it. I mean, I hate to say it, because if they can keep their emotions in check, we could get a classic out of these two, but if they can't keep their emotions in check, this thing could be over very quickly, because somebody is really capable of making a big mistake.
I can't wait. I'm going to be there live, you know, sitting as close to the action as I can sit, cheering my head off. I know Greg wishes he could be there.
I do. But,
you know, pregnant wife is more important than one wrestling show.
He'll VPW. Get there in
September.
I chant VPW for very pregnant wife.
Thank you.
That you're fed. VPW. But I got one for you. I know you're not going to be there. But I told Chris before you jumped in that I have a match that we have not announced yet, and it's a non-tournament match. I like to highlight some more of the roster. So there will be a fatal four-way cruiserweight match between Lucky 13, Joey Silver, Charles Mason, and Anthony Michael, four members of our cruiserweight roster. Lucky 13, great veteran, been up and down the roads, been all over the place, CZW, etc. Joey Silver and Charles Mason, both products of Amazing Red and the House of Glory. And Anthony Michael, kind of a well-kept secret in New Jersey independent wrestling for some time. So that match will happen in non-tournament action on July 25th.
That's awesome. Cruiserweights definitely tend to steal shows, without a doubt. And that definitely sounds like a stacked match that should be super energetic and super high flying.
Well, hopefully so, because I mean, I've grown and learned, I mean, a tournament show is amazing and the talent in it is amazing, but with that many singles matches, you got to break it up. You got to give people just something different to look at for a minute. And hopefully these guys know that they've got, you know, a small window of time to really pull out all the stops. So go get it, boys.
I appreciate you giving us that hot exclusive. And Chris, I believe we do have enough. This is a bonus show now. This has turned into a bonus show.
All right.
Like, it's that's how we're going to play. That's how we're going to play this. Because why the hell not? We can do whatever we want.
Yeah, it's our podcast. We don't need permission.
No, we don't need permission.
So. Call the boss.
Yeah, okay.
She's luck figuring out which of us is the boss, because we'll not, both fight it tooth and nail that one.
It's a very team-oriented podcast structure we have here, Colin, for sure.
Yeah, but one of you is in charge.
No. Chris is our talent booker. That's what he does. He gets all of our guests. I am, for our old school show, I am our hardcore researcher and preparer, and I'm the editor, and I put all the stuff out. So we all, like, he's got the much harder job sometimes, but I have the more, like, maybe time consuming work, if that makes any sense.
You know, after Greg's Hammerstone, I have to be the talent booker, because clearly only one of us knows how to use Twitter.
Like a John Starks brick in Game 7 of the NBA Finals. That's what that
You're breaking my heart, that's Greg. Don't do that.
That is my darkest sports memory of my life. That's what it is. Mm-hmm.
Yep. It was dark enough to the point where when they signed Sprewell, I'm like, can he come in and choke Starks first? And he just strangled John Starks. If we're going to make this a bonus, though, screw it. Ask me some stuff. Toss it out there. Wrestling, non-wrestling. Let's go. I'll shoot with you. Let's do it.
Listen, if you got the time, we've got the time for sure.
So we got a little bit. We got a little bit of time.
Talk to us about your journey to become the owner and promoter of Synergy. I know you and I spoke about it off camera last time. I think it's a unique story.
Accident. 1,000,000% accident. I got into the business in 2012 as a commentator for a local promotion called UWA Elite. I worked there for a number of years, and I was lucky enough at the time that a really solid crew of veterans was a part of that promotion, kind of helping stabilize it as a pro promotion. Guys like Arcadia and Mike Quest and Eric Orvis, to name a couple, and Nicholas Kay. And from there, I really have learned a lot. I mean, most of my education in this business has been managing Arcadia for a few years and doing 4 years worth of commentary side by side every show at that promotion with Eric Orvis. And I've learned as much from those two men as anybody in wrestling. And because I was lucky enough to bump into those people, it opened up doorways and opportunities for me that maybe other people wouldn't have gotten so easily. I just was blessed to meet the right people. And I found myself running some charity shows for cystic fibrosis and not being good at it. I sucked. I was very bad. And the people who worked for me on those early shows will tell you, I was very bad. I mean, I was sitting there and I was booking Joey Janela and Mark Quinn and Rhino, and I had no clue what I was doing. And God bless them. The reason that I name dropped those guys is because if I wasn't booking and working with guys that talented, I would have fallen on my face. But they were pros, and they really propped me up early on, and I'm very grateful for them doing work for charity like they did. And so through failing, I learned how to succeed a little bit. And in 2017, when Synergy started, I was given the opportunity to, quote unquote, have the book, as they say, and run creative and help build the roster. And the original owners of Synergy and I had an agreement that we would go for 10 shows and see how it went. And so after 10 shows, they were ready to, through no fault of anybody's, they were ready to move on and try something else with their lives and do something different. And I'll always be grateful, because we're not here without them. And they gave me the opportunity to fold or buy the company, and I bought it, and here we are 14 months later.
It's a super exciting company. You know, you guys, between the guys you bring in roster, we discussed it in our post show that for a smaller roster, it is just as talented as some of those television companies.
I'm very choosy about who comes in here, and it has to do with talent. Of course it does. But it also has to do with who I think gets what we're trying to do. And what I'm trying to do is, if you look at most independent companies right now, no shade, they're all trying to do the same thing. They're all trying to be the same thing, where guys come through the curtain and it's all stiff strikes and it's all in like crazy indie high spots, and sometimes they land and sometimes they don't. And it's a bunch of guys dropping 37 F-bombs in every promo. And it's great. And I love those shows. That's why it's no shade. That's my style of stuff. That's what I love to go watch. But 8-year-old Colin couldn't have gotten into wrestling watching that. And Colin's uncle, if he wanted to get into wrestling, just picking a random person, is not going to look as a casual wrestling fan and feel like that's accessible to him. And the other thing that I really care about is working on those shows is not going to help my guys get on television. I want my guys that I and girls that I care about and that I love in this business to make a whole butt ton of money and live off wrestling. I want that real bad for them. And if I can be a platform where they can get to TV through a place like this, if I can build that, then that's what I want to build. And is it going to be the trendy indie of the moment? No, probably never. But I don't want to be that, because I can't. There's already people who are that, and they're going to do it better than I can do it. This is what I can do. This is the market I can serve. And you can feel okay bringing your kids to these shows, because they're not going to see or hear anything that's going to scar them for life, probably, except my face. And I've got a mask on, so it's cool. And I just want to be something different. And I think that what's really attracting great talent here is a guy like Matt Tremont, our first champion, is the greatest deathmatch wrestler of his generation. Blood and guts and gore, and he loves old school Memphis wrestling, and he loves grappling, and he loves that kind of performance just as much, and cutting promos and telling stories and working those old school NWA style matches, and nobody ever books him to do it because they want to see him bleed out of his face. And when he came here, I said, Matt, I'll never ask you to bleed. Never, not once, because everybody else asked you to. And I think on some level, maybe I earned his respect while he was here. And I just like giving people that platform to prove that they can do more than what they're quote unquote known for. You know, Jordan Oliver is booed all over independent wrestling for being this scummy, cheating, down low, dirty, young, dumb, and broke heel. And he comes here, and the first time he hit the curtain here, my fans erupted for him. So I said, you know what? That's what my fans want here. So let's not force a hand. Jordan gets to be something very different here. And I think that's cool, you know, because he can show that he's got a different facet to himself. And I like listening to fans. I like sending out polls and surveys after shows and seeing what they thought and what they thought sucked. Not, hey, who was your least favorite wrestler? Because that's throwing the talent under the bus. If a segment fails, I booked it. It's on me. You know, so I want to know where I can be better. And I think that in that, I've kind of built a place where talent feels like they can trust that if something goes wrong, I'm going to be the guy that owns it. You know, and I'm not going to throw people under the bus, and I'm going to let people have some creative freedom and hopefully show a different side of what they got. And if we can turn into that place where people can springboard, if we can be an Evolve, if we can be a Beyond, if we can be 2006 Ring of Honor, for shoot, that's the goal. I'd love to be 2006 Ring of Honor. And there we are. Then I've done something.
Well, it definitely shows from our standpoint, like, we've been kind of looking for something like this to enjoy, especially in our backyard, because however many promotions there are in the New York, New Jersey area, they're not close to us. You know, mm-hmm. you got to go like deep in the city or, you know, just anywhere. But to have something that's like maybe an hour away from where we are, to that puts on the best talent, has quality shows, and has the mindset that it is a family production, that is something that we can get behind, and is older guys, you know, that treats, that kind of hits to our old school mentality, just putting on great matches with the best talent. And I'm sorry, I'm kissing your ass a little bit, but you've earned it. That's the,
bring it.
That's what I'm saying. And, yeah. So, I mean, so I appreciate that. And I want to say, I appreciate you bringing us in and like welcoming us as much as you have, just to fans who goof around on recorded podcasts and just try and have a little fun. But the
but I hate that mentality too, because my first job in this business before I got commentary was I did podcasts for a year, and I've been a podcaster before for sports and for regular talk, and I'll be a podcaster again. And I think that people are too quick to bury podcasters and journalists in this business, very quick. And I think it's unfair, because what the hell are you doing other than trying to put us over and prop us up and give us a spotlight and talk about us? And why should anybody crap on that? You don't go from being a small independent company that nobody really cares about to building a brand without podcasters. You don't. It doesn't happen. And if people are dismissive of podcasts and doing interviews, and that's it's short-sighted, it's really stupid. It's really just point-blank stupid, and I've never understood it. It's not just quote-unquote Mark's trying to get in the business. It's not. There's time and effort and dedication put into it. And we'll talk another time at length about why I think Mark is a four-letter word and it should be retired. I hate that word. I hate it. I hate it because it comes from a bad place. It comes from a really bad place where it's about taking people's money, and I'm not here for it. So you'll never hear anybody. I don't care how much a fan pisses me off. I'm never calling them the M word ever, ever. I hate the word.
It's refreshing to hear that. You know, and we are self-deprecating at times.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, we'll be the first ones to tell you that everybody in the wrestling industry has been so welcoming, you know, and even people that haven't wanted to participate, you know, like I got an email from Jeff Jarrett saying I respectfully decline. He could have ignored me. He sent me an email.
Of course.
And to me, that showed everything. And I would get why we're not a big enough platform yet. But at the same time, everybody that we have talked to have walked away as friends. In that regard, it's special and unique for us. Like I don't have any disillusions about my role in professional wrestling. It will be as a podcaster, period. You know, that's where I want to be. I want to be a fan and I want to be a podcaster. And it's unique. And I know you want to say something right there, so go for it.
It's not, and don't ever put just in front of that.
Fair enough.
That's a noble pursuit. You want to be a podcaster? Hell yeah. Because ultimately, as a fan and as a podcaster, if I'm not putting out a product that is worth your time or your energy or your money, my product doesn't exist anymore. So you are, in a weird way, the top of the food chain. And that's what I want to change about wrestling, is that fans aren't at the bottom, and fans don't have to put up with crap they don't want to watch, and fans don't have to put up with promotions that don't listen to them. or who charge $50 for something that costs $15. You don't have to put up with it anymore. You are the top of the food chain. I answer to you. Because if I'm not putting stuff that you want to watch on, I'm not entitled to your money. I'm not entitled to your fandom. And people need to stop acting in this day and age like fans are beholden to their company. I earn your business on a show-to-show basis. And if you love the GSI, that's amazing. And if August sucks, which it won't, but if August sucked, there's only but so many months of credit I can get for a good event before you're like, Colin's really starting to take advantage of running one or two good shows, and now he's really taken us to the cleaners, and we're not cool with it anymore. Like, I'm always going to answer to you because I'm not special. I'm not important. I'm just a guy that runs the company, and the wrestlers do the rest. The workers do the rest, and the fans decide if they like what we're putting on. And in 2020, and people don't like that I say this, and I catch heat from other promoters for saying it, and I don't care. In 2020, the promoter is the least important person in a wrestling company. Least. I'm there to put the show on and let really talented people do what they do and let fans decide if that's what they want to watch. I'm the least important guy in the room. And I'm never going to act different. And that's it.
And I think that's something that is probably the most important character trait that you have. You look at certain indie promotions that aren't going to be successful. It's the promoter that puts him out there in four different segments. Ugh. That wants to be the most important guy in the venue, wants to overshadow everybody. And like, up until last week, that was my indie experience watching. Mm-hmm. You know, other than a match here or a match there and doing research for our interviews, like, it was refreshing to see you come out and give such a heartfelt welcome to Matt. That was so important. And then to not see you again was just as important because it made those words that much more valuable.
I'm very selective now. And that's a lesson that I learned, is that early on, I was so passionate about wanting to get the company out there and wanting to convey how much it meant to me that I was a little too present. I was a little too front of camera. And it's why when the opportunity came to buy the company, I gave the creative director job to Nicholas K. Because I need to be occasionally heard and very rarely seen. Like, that was the first quote unquote promo that I cut in front of the camera, in front of the curtain, since May of 2019. And if I had been on camera every damn show, then it wouldn't have meant anything. And it wasn't a promo. You and I know, like, I decided 3 minutes before that match was over that I was going to say something to Matt. I decided 3 minutes before the match was over, because I could have very easily walked to the back and just been like, hey, that was remarkable. You did a really good job and we'll see you here again. But I felt like the moment demanded a little bit more. I felt like what Matt put into that match demanded a little bit more from me. I felt like the moment was right. I don't intend to be out front at the DSI. I'm not the guy that stands out there and I hand off my trophy and this is mine. Look at me swinging my D around. I'm not that guy. We have a ring announcer. We have a referee. You guys hand the trophy off. That's your job on any other show. I'm not going to be that guy. So you'll see me again one day. Till then, I'll just do podcasts and I'll be super stoked about it.
Well, you always have a seat at our table without a doubt. You know, you know, I told you last time I have every intention of doing a show like this every time you're about to run a show. We discussed privately that hitching our wagon to yours was the best decision we've made. You know, and it happened organically and it happened respectfully, and we couldn't be prouder to be affiliated in any way with you guys. Like, it's incredible to us. you know, the character of your guys, you know, people like LSG, mm-hmm. who, you know, will hit me up and check in on me if my status is something that, you know, is I'm having trouble. He wants to know if I'm good. Like, you, that can't be faked.
Nope.
And, you know, that's why he has a fan in us for life. You know, and I like to joke around, you know, on Twitter and say, well, I consider him a friend. Hopefully he considers me a friend and it's not weird. I know deep down he does consider me a friend.
I mean, and that's, look, this is a guy who, on camera persona aside, this is a guy who could very easily say, I've been in Ring of Honor for 5 years. I don't have time for this. And he'll never be that guy. And to have someone, I've known him for a long time, just again, through knowing Eric Corvus. Eric Corvus was integral in LSG's early training and getting him in the car for the early days of Beyond Wrestling. So it's all very tight knit. And to have somebody that I've watched just become a star thank me for a platform feels so backwards. And I'm very humble about it because I look at my roster and my goal for 2 years from now is that I don't have six or eight of these guys because they're on television. And it'll hurt me because I'll miss my friends, but that's what I want. You know, I want to have the feeling that I had. We're recording this on a Thursday, by the way, so I can say this. I want to have the feeling that I had last night when I turned on TNT and I watched my friend Sonny Kiss wrestle for the TNT championship. And I love Sonny. Every bit of that human being is so genuine to who Sonny is, to who he is. And God forbid if we see, like, I'm going to be real with you. If we see, because I'm not privy to everything, but if we do see Warhorse on TV in a couple of weeks, I'm going to get very emotional about it. Because, hey, guess what I was doing in 2015 and 16 while I was in between jobs? I ran 15 episodes of a podcast for another company. And I interviewed a young man called the Warhorse Jake Parnell, who had just come out of the Viking War Party, who was not wearing face paint, who was not metal, who was not ruling ass, who was just trying to figure out who he was and was sleeping in his car and wrestling to break even. And I love that man. And he came out here for our Warhorse's Big Bad Bitchin' Christmas party last year. We hung out and, you know, we double dated at Red Lobster the next night.
And that's awesome.
And then the following day, he took his fiance into the city and proposed to her and sent me a picture on my phone. And I'm like, just to what? And I'm not saying this to put myself over. I'm just like, I love these people. You know what I'm saying? I love these people. I love getting to see them on television. Even somebody that I'm not that close to, that I've worked with before and said hello to and maybe had a beer with once or twice, like the Joey Janela, seeing what he put his body through and what he sacrificed to get that contract and provide for himself and his family, and how much it all legit means to him and how he almost, you know, how he gets teared up every time he grabs a microphone at GCW because it's real for Joe. And yeah, I love that shit, man. Sorry for the language, but I love that shit. It is why I'm here, you know? So if I can be a small part of that for somebody, if I can actually work my ass off and be a proper platform for somebody, and I can see an LSG or a Jordan Oliver or a KTB or a Matt Vertigo or anybody like a Matt McIntosh. Somebody sign that man, for Christ's sake, on my TV next year. I'll have done something. That's it. And then we can find the next one. And that's the fun part.
Absolutely. You know, it's, we, just in our interviews, you know, yeah. My first solo interview because Greg was scared of women.
Shut up.
he wasn't. He had to watch his son. But it's much better when you say he's scared of women. I interviewed Kylan King. We released her episode on a Monday, and on Tuesday she's on AEW Dark.
Completely unrelated. Like, and we didn't know. So, like,
I had no idea it was coming, like nothing. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, this is incredible. So I can only imagine how it would feel for you to see those guys.
Oh my God. It's unbelievable. And I just look back and I look at, like I said, Ring of Honor 06, 07, and just the roster was like Daniels, Brian Danielson, Samoa Joe, Homicide, Colt Cabana, AJ Styles, Jay Lethal, Alex Shelley, like those guys. Chris Hero down the line, Roddy Strong. How much further can I go with it? And just, this is what I want. Like, this is what I want, is I want people to look back at Synergy 2020, 2021, and be like, holy crap, how many of those guys do we know now? How many of those guys are household? And if I can just be a part of that, I don't need anybody to know my name. If they know the brand, if they know what the Shield looks like, if they know the logo, if they watch the shows, I don't need anybody to know who Colin is. I'm very comfortable being behind the scenes of it. So get my boys, get my girls some contracts, and we'll go. And I do mean girls. I want to get more women in. I've gotten away from it recently, and I don't like it. I think that I need more women involved. So that'll happen in the near future, rectifying as we speak.
Awesome. Well, Colin, we thank you so much for your time today. You know, I love that this turned into a bonus episode from a quick hitter. You know, you definitely deserve the recognition, whether you want it or otherwise. You put on such a great product that, you know, like I said, we're honored to just be associated with it. Keep doing what you're doing. Plug Synergy, everything that you need to get out there, man.
SynergyWrestling.com, SynergyWrestling.com. That is your good hub for everything, because everything else that I'm about to plug, you can find through the website. You can find all our socials at Synergy Wrestle through the website. You can get a link to our last show from July 11th and see Warhorse and AJ. Right, 2 out of 3 falls. See LSG Jordan Oliver, Tony Depp and JD Drake, the Matt Vertigo debut that everybody's still talking about. That whole show. You can order the GSI for July 25th through our website. You can go to Fight TV and search the SPW Garden State Invitational. They're calling us SPW. I guess I got to roll with it because it's Fight TV and they're bigger than me. Past that, go to our roster page on our website, find who you like, and go order their merch, dude. Go buy a wrestler's t-shirt today. It sucks right now. Nobody gets to wrestle as much as they want to. Rep your guys. Go out, buy a t-shirt. Find somebody that you think looks cool. You think The Whisper looks cool, or DJ Crawford, Ellis Taylor? Go buy their shirt. Support them. They'd love to eat tomorrow. So that's where we are. And if you feel like supporting us and coming out to a show in the near future, my DMs are wide open to the universe. Hit me up. Shoot me a message. We're doing tickets privately right now so we can respect all the COVID restrictions. But there are some tickets available for a live crowd for these shows coming up. Like I said, the next show is July 25th, Garden State Invitational. M-Dog Matt Cross, Gary J, Myron Reed, Jordan Oliver, KTB, Simon Gotch, Tony Depp, and Gregory Iron in that tournament. It is live on Fight TV, July 25th at 7 p.m. for 999, which I hear is a cool number to sell things for in this business. And past that, August 29th is Heat Seekers. I have nothing set right now because we have to see what's going on. But there will be a Cruiserweight crown match, and whoever the champion is will face Brandon Kirk for that title, whether I like it or not, on August 29th.
Awesome. Well, again, we can't thank you enough. You can follow us at DDT Archives on both Instagram and Twitter. You can follow me at Chris_DDTHSLB. And we're going to keep giving you bonus stuff and just keep helping support our friends in pro wrestling, because there's nothing better. So get out there, hit up everybody's pro wrestling tees, support everybody from the Synergy roster, and hope to see you on July 25th.